Good morning. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF on this Friday morning, the second Friday of the month, which means we will be speaking to Senator Virgil Peck on this wonderful Friday morning. Good morning, Senator Peck. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Matt. Appreciate the opportunity to visit with the folks listening to KGGF. I'd much rather be in studio, but duty calls, so I'm in my office in Topeka, Kansas.
Well, before you kind of get into everything, what's it like up there at the Capitol right now in session, and how has the time been up there since you guys started a month ago today?
We started a month ago today, as far as the calendar is concerned. It's been much better this year than last year. Last year, it was quiet in the Capitol. There were not hardly any visitors. You had to have a pass to come in, meaning you had to have official business. For example, yesterday we had some 300 JAG-K students from across Kansas in the Capitol, so there was that constant buzz or roar, as some people call it, of noise. So it's been an interesting session. Last week, however, though, because of weather came in, we missed three legislative days, so we're a little bit behind, but I believe we'll get caught up, and I think we're starting to see the important things get through, and things are getting through committees, so we're making progress up here. At least I think it depends on a person's definition of progress, of course.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, let's start here with something that's been in the news for a few weeks now, and that is this redistricting. It was passed, then it was vetoed, and now the veto has been overridden, so that Ad Astra 2 has been, or Senate Bill 355 has been approved now.
It has, and Matt, you're correct in calling it either one. It's technically Senate Bill 355, but every map that is proposed up here has a name, and the name of the map that passed or is to become law is Ad Astra 2. After many meetings across the state for the last several months and then work and input from all legislators, Ad Astra 2 or Senate Bill 355 is a map to redraw the congressional districts. There's only four of them in the state of Kansas, and you would think just drawing four congressional districts would be somewhat simple. Well, it's really not, because the population is different in certain areas. Any map that we pass, we're going to have those who will be critics of the map. I understand that. There's no perfect map. I have looked at every single map that was proposed, even some that I didn't have an opportunity to consider because they were proposed on the House side. And I could find flaws with every one of them personally. But my first responsibility as a state senator is to represent State Senate District 15. Ad Astra protected Senate District 15. I had, just in case there are listeners, Matt, that had contacted me and were pushing for me to support the United map. That's the name of a map that was out there. There's no way I was going to support United map, because United cut Montgomery County off from the rest of southeast Kansas and put us in with the congressional district in Wichita. And so I much prefer for us to be in with the rest of southeast Kansas and a lot of rural eastern Kansas. So you're right. Passed the Senate, passed the House. The governor vetoed it. Went to the Senate. We managed to get the minimum number of votes override. We got 27, so it passed 27 to 11 on the Senate side. That means a couple people passed. And then on the House side, it went there next because it was a Senate bill, so it started on the Senate side. The House overrode it with one vote to spare, 85 to 37. So it will become law, notwithstanding the governor's veto. However, there is expected and almost required, if you will, a look at the legislation by the Supreme Court of Kansas. So it's not a done deal yet. And, Matt, that bothers me, that what that ultimately means is, since it has to pass through the Kansas Supreme Court, the Supreme Court is the one who really determines the final map. But Ad Astra 2, the thing I really liked about it is there is zero deviation in population, meaning the population of each congressional district is exactly the same. So we'll see if it actually becomes the map for our congressional delegation. But that's one step that's been taken in the redistricting process. Now we move forward in trying to figure out Senate districts, state Senate districts, and then state House districts, which that will take a little more time, I think, to get accomplished. Should be a little less controversial, too.
All right. Well, you know, I talked to Representative Blex last week, and one of the things that he mentioned that the Supreme Court liked when looking at those maps were those zero deviations in population. So the fact that they were able to do that, they should at least like that portion of it. So the process of it moving through the Supreme Court, what exactly does that look like, and what changes could happen to the map, or are there any changes that could happen to the map with that process?
Well, as far as it going through the court process, it's going to be an up or down. They will not change the map. They'll either say, yes, it passes constitutional muster, or it does not. If the Supreme should rule that it does not, then we get to start over or redraw a map and then vote again. So this is not over yet. We're getting close to the finish line, but we can't step across into the court. So, again, the court will, it'll be an up or down. It's like, yep, we accept this one, or no, legislature, go back and draw another one. And then they will give some guidelines as to why they did not approve it. I'm hoping they do. It's not really, to my way of thinking, their responsibility to determine that. It's the elected representatives of the voters. But we shall see. We really expect that we will have a decision in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Could be shorter, could be longer, but we got to get this done by May for certain.
All right. Well, you some of the committees that you're a part of, you're part of the Commerce Committee. I know we were talking a bit before the interview. Some good things happening with commerce in the state of Kansas, or things that are being worked on for commerce.
There are several things that we're working on in the Commerce Committee, and I feel very fortunate to be on the committees that I am for the District Agriculture Committee. We've got a lot of ag interest. Commerce is always big for the entire state. Tax, that has to do with all of our taxation issues. But in the department, or in the Committee of Commerce, we started on the Senate side with Senate Bill 347, which is commonly called the APEX bill, which APEX stands for Attracting Powerful Economic Expansion. This has been in the news quite a bit. It's one that frustrated me from the very get-go, from introduction. The governor and the lieutenant governor, who is also the Secretary of Commerce, introduced this legislation and pushed this legislation. The thing that frustrates me is two primary things. One was the rush. This was introduced on the 20th of January. We were told it needed to be passed by the end of January so the governor could sign it by the 1st. Well, that's only 10 days to go through the whole process, and it didn't happen, nearly that quick. But the other thing that bothered me was we are passing this massive tax incentive for an unknown, unnamed mystery business, and we were told we had to do it. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not here because the governor or lieutenant governor tell me that I need to pass legislation. I'm here to watch out for the interest of Senate District 15. But we were told, as far as this company is concerned, they're going to invest $4 billion in the state of Kansas. I like that idea. They're going to build a 3 million square foot facility in the state of Kansas. I like that. They say that they're going to hire 4,000 workers. Well, I like 4,000 jobs. My concern is, are they going to cannibalize other businesses, other jobs, when we've already got more jobs than we have workers in our state? They said it will be an average of $50,000 pay. I like that, except when you start to think about it, well, you've got an executive that's making $150,000, $200,000. That can be a lot of $30,000, $35,000 a year jobs, which are decent jobs, but not really high paying when you consider the average. So I voted no. It passed the Senate 31-9, passed the House 80-41. So what that tells the residents of Kansas, Matt, is that 50 of 165 legislators were not supportive of the legislation. Now, had we had more information, might have been supportive. But this is giving away a lot of incentives to one business. I prefer to spread it out over more businesses. It's also going to hinder our ability to make tax cuts for Kansas citizens because of the price tag. So, again, I voted no, but it did pass. And it was interesting. I was on the floor of the Senate yesterday because I was making arrangements for Haley Bagwell from Coffeyville to sing the national anthem on the floor of the Senate. The Senate president and his staff come rushing across the floor, were handed a piece of paper, and he signed his name, and I knew what it was. He was signing the enrolled bill to get it to the governor. And then the clerk said, well, I've got to get that to the governor by noon, so the clerk rushed off. So it again just reiterated to me, reinforced the fact that this was a rush deal. Now our Secretary of Commerce has contacted this company and told them these are the tax incentives that we will give. And the final thing I'll mention, and you're welcome to ask questions, but the thing that really should disturb, in addition to what I've already mentioned, disturb Kansas voters is it has refundable tax credits. Well, refundable tax credits are not just, well, you don't have to pay the taxes. It is that the state of Kansas is going to write you a check using other people's tax dollars to give to this mega corporation. Now, will it ultimately prove to be a good thing for the state of Kansas? I don't know. I sure hope so, but I just wasn't comfortable. I just didn't feel like it was right. So we'll see what happens from here because I was on the losing end.
Yeah, well, I know that the mystery surrounding the potential business or industry or you know whatever is coming in, I know was a sticking point for a lot of people. And rightfully so. I mean, you kind of want to know what you're doing this for, especially something that seems so rushed. And I'm sure if we had the time, we could spend a good amount of time on this. But unfortunately, we do have a few more minutes left. But we talked a little bit about you don't always want to focus on all the serious stuff. Sometimes you want to talk about some of the stuff that's more fun. And there's some stuff that the state of Kansas is doing for fireworks sales.
It's something that I think will pass, but we won't know for certain. Started in the Commerce Committee on the Senate side, Senate Bill 378. And what it does, I'm going to give just a brief background. Currently in the state of Kansas, the state fire marshal determines the number of days that fireworks stands can sell fireworks. And he has determined, the fire marshal has determined, that June the 27th through July the 5th are the only days that the state of Kansas can sell fireworks. This legislation would allow for year-round sale of fireworks in brick-and-mortar buildings, meaning permanent buildings like we've got there on 11th Street in Coffeyville, Jake's Fireworks. They could sell fireworks year-round. I don't think they'd be open year-round. There's not that kind of a market, but particularly around Independence Day, July 4th, and then New Year's Day, the first of the year. This legislation would also allow the seasonal retailers, which are what I call your pop-up fireworks, your stands, your tents, the portable buildings, it would expand their sales from June the 15th through July the 6th. So it would give Kansas residents more opportunity to purchase fireworks, and then local units of government, local municipalities can determine what days we could actually shoot those off. In Montgomery County, where I live out in the country, you can shoot fireworks off anytime. Not a good idea to do it during the dry season. But, yeah, this was kind of a fun piece of legislation to hear the conferees come up and talk about it and the fact that we're considering year-round fireworks purchases for Kansas citizens. Less serious, a little more fun. I mean, it's serious. We need to take this seriously as far as make sure we get it right, but it's not the heavy stuff like the redistricting or the Apex bill and so forth.
Yeah, maybe with year-round fireworks sales, we can get more high school football teams and some of our community college teams in the area to shoot off fireworks after touchdowns during night games. You know, I think that'd be a fun to see.
You know, that's something I hadn't thought of, but you're right, Matt. That would make for a little more entertaining, particularly for the home folks when our local team scores. Yeah, set off a little bit of fireworks up in the sky, just a little bit of extra entertainment. So I'll have to mention that when we talk about this further.
All right. Well, Senator Peck, we appreciate you taking some time to talk with us here on this Friday, and we'll look forward to speaking to you to you next month.
I look forward to it. Appreciate the opportunity, Matt. Thank you much.
All right. We'll go ahead and take a break as we work our way to the end of the 7 o'clock hour. We come back in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll have Fox News followed by local news here on the Mighty 690, but we'll have some weather with the News on 6 coming up next.